Luke's Gospel, please. Luke. And read, please, in chapter 8. Chapter 7, please, in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them, or graciously forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many, have been, is actually the reading, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. I love to notice the way that the Lord Jesus so skillfully uses his illustrations. In the home of the Pharisee, the Lord Jesus was a guest of this man and yet was presenting to him a very important lesson. And my, he did it very skillfully. The parable that we have read is a very brief parable. A certain creditor had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. That's the story. Now, from that story, the Lord Jesus asks this man, Simon the Pharisee, a question. He is going to draw Simon out, in light of the story he has told him, to give to Simon a lesson that he so sorely needs. You see, the problem with Simon was, as Simon looked at this woman that was in his house, Simon says, she is a sinner. Can't you hear him kind of looking down his nose and snarling, sinner? And Simon says, in effect, my, how different she is from me. This woman is altogether different from me. She's a sinner. Now the Lord Jesus is interested in pointing out to Simon what is common between him and that woman. And that is the point for which the Lord Jesus tells this story that we have been referring to. Now, while Simon was looking at the outside, she's a sinner, boy, he was right in this. Now, he was vastly different from that woman. He was different from that woman as far as the past was concerned. That woman's past had some tremendous sins in it, and we'll give Simon the benefit of the doubt, sins of which he was not guilty. Yes, there was a tremendous difference between Simon and the woman as far as their past was concerned, all in the story of sin. But there was also a difference between their present, because that woman loved the Lord Jesus. And she loved the Lord Jesus because she had received from the Lord Jesus the forgiveness of every one of her sins. I'd like to ask you tonight now, just as if I were sitting with my finger just pointing into your face, kindly, but directly, I'd like to ask you tonight if there's ever been a time when you have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus. Has there ever been a time when you fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about a sentimental thing. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I am asking this evening, does the Christ who died at Calvary and lives at the right hand of God affect your heart? I'm not talking about this idea, my, how much I love God and how much I love Jesus. And if I were to ask you why, I love God and I love the Lord Jesus because He's God and just because, my, He's been so good to me. And you ask this woman why she loved the Lord Jesus, she'd have had no trouble telling you why she loved Him. He had invited her to come to Him laden with her sin, and she had come and she had rest and her sins were forgiven. She loved Him because personally she had received from Him the forgiveness of her sin. A lot of people in the meeting tonight, and they love the Lord Jesus just for that reason. And I'm among them. I can tell you about the 16th of April, 1961, when I received from the Lord Jesus the forgiveness of my sins. I saw that He had paid for my sins when He died at Calvary. The years since then have not been sinless years. The years since then have made me very much aware of failing in my own heart. But I will tell you something about those years from then till now. There's a man that I have never seen, and I love him. I met him on that night, and I'm longing to see him face to face, because he's the man that died for me. I have received the forgiveness of sins personally from him. Is that a reality to you? It wasn't to Simon. No wonder they were different, but Simon didn't see that part of the story. And I want to tell you something else. They were different as to their future. The Lord Jesus says to this woman at the end of the story, go into peace. Missus, as long as you're traveling, there will always be hope before you. There's always peace for the life of a man or woman that knows their sins forgiven. Simon had a hope that there would be peace. But for all the hopes that Simon had, there was no peace. What a solemn moment if there's no change in Simon from Luke chapter 7. What a solemn moment away of Simon when the last shade was drawn on life and he went into eternity. Simon went without peace because he had no Savior. He had no forgiveness of sin. This poor woman, a sinner from the street. Forgiven, she left with peace for all the future years in this world and in the world to come. But I want to draw to your attention tonight the fact that the Lord Jesus is emphasizing the commonality of these two individuals. What the Lord Jesus emphasizes, first of all, with these two individuals is from the parable that these two creditors, or these two debtors before the creditor, had a common condition. Now, Simon says about this woman, she is a sinner. The Lord Jesus says, now Simon, I'm going to tell you a story. Simon thought all that. He didn't speak it out loud. Nobody around him knew, but the Lord Jesus knew. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to tell you a story, Simon. A certain creditor had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other owed 50. Simon, you're thinking about how much that woman owes more than you do, and you're saying she's a sinner. But Simon, I want you to know something. Whether a man owes 50 pence or 500 pence, a certain creditor had two debtors. Each one of them is a debtor. It's not a question of the extent of their debt. It is a question of their condition as they stand before this creditor. And I would like to emphasize tonight that we are not speaking this evening as if there are some in the meeting that are terrible sinners and they have done unmentionable things. And we are really embarrassed that such people should be in the company of such fine people as we. We're not implying that tonight, but we are saying very simply and plainly, all have sinned
And the Word of God says there's no difference. No difference.
That's not a question of a difference between the amount of indebtedness.
It is a question of no difference because of a common condition. And you see, the reason why men and women, no matter who they may be, need Christ is because men and women, no matter who they may be, are sinners. I wonder this evening if there are some in the meeting tonight that just simply do not want to have to admit that I stand on the same footing before God as people of the street, as the down and outers, as the people in jails. I think I was in a home one night since we have come that I mentioned, don't get all my help, you know, from Dear Abby, but I read this in a Dear Abby column, a woman writing in some years ago and saying, what is this that I keep hearing about these people in jail and they say they've gotten saved? It was in the time of Chuck Colson and his claim to have gotten saved. She said, I don't understand this. Do they really expect that they're going to go from the jail to heaven? What kind of a thing is this? If those kind of people are going to be in heaven, I don't want to be there. Signed, sorry brother, a Connecticut Yankee. But you see, her problem was this. She was thinking of the tremendous difference between her and others and failed to realize that she stood on a common ground before God. There is no difference, for all have sinned. A man from the jail does not deserve to be in heaven. And people on the outside that would have absolutely no inclination of that kind of life don't deserve to be in heaven either. Both debtors before God. All in the meeting tonight, sinners before God. But I want you to notice something else about these two individuals that the Lord Jesus points out. Not only a common condition, but a common problem. 50 pence debtor. What have you got to pay? £500 debtor. Why don't you go ahead and do something about your debt? They had nothing to pay. The Lord Jesus is telling Simon, Simon, you have got absolutely no capability of paying to God for your sins. Be they many or few, you've got nothing to pay. That woman over there, she has absolutely nothing to pay. She is incapable of paying her debt. And it is true of every person in the meeting tonight. Whether you have many sins in the past, or whether you have tried to live a moral, upright, cultured, civilized life, you have this evening absolutely no capability of paying one red penny of your debt to God. You remember that the Lord Jesus, when he taught his disciples a prayer, he used this language, forgive us our sins as we forgive also those that are indebted to us. So that man's sin is a debt to God. And you this evening are absolutely incapable of paying a red penny of the debt of your sin to God. If you were to meet God tonight and to be asked by God for payment for your sin, what could you give him? Now I've got bad news for you, worse than I'm going to tell you to begin with. But if you were to say to God, God, I have been sincere. And I have lived almost all of my life doing good. I have attended church and I have prayed every day. Now maybe there's nobody in the meeting tonight that could say that. I have never harmed any of my neighbors. And I have always done the very best that I could. I'm positive there's nobody in the meeting tonight could say that. I've always done the best I could. But if you were to present that to God, God would not say, well, now that really is that is only what is expected. at the very best. And if you have lived for 10 minutes doing the very best that you can, if, that's only what's expected. It's just like my going into the bank. If I owed money on a loan and $500 was due today on that loan, and I went to the friendly bank manager and I said to him, "Sir, I have come to the bank today to tell you that I am not planning to make any more loans from you this week. And so I trust that that will cover the $500 that I owe today." People think that if they can tell God they have done what is right, that that somehow or other will pay off the debt of their sin. Dear soul, at its very best, at its very best, it's only what you ought to have done. That's no payment to God for your debt. But I said, I've got worse news than that for you. The very best that you'd present to God, God would evaluate in these words, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans chapter 8, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." Just the truth we've been hearing already tonight. That the very best you would present to God, first of all, it could never be considered payment. And second of all, it is never to be considered acceptable. Nothing to pay. If you were to meet God tonight, and God to ask you for payment for your sins, the teaching of the Lord Jesus to Simon the Pharisee is this: you would have absolutely nothing you could give to God. Nothing. Whether you owe 500 pence or 50 pence. Now, if I were to ask you which of these individuals would you rather be, the one that owes 500 pence or the one that owes 50, I know your first reaction would be you'd rather be the one that owes 50. But I tell you, it wouldn't make any difference. Wouldn't make any difference. Because the one that owes 50 has no capability of paying, and the one that owes 500 has no capability of paying. And the Lord Jesus is not looking at the future and saying, maybe someday you'll be able to, and maybe someday you'll be able to. He is saying, here's the bottom line, neither one of them can pay. Your soul tonight, as you stand before God, you have this problem. Absolutely incapable of paying the debt of your sin. There is a common urgency that affects these two individuals because both of them are now brought face to face with the creditor. You're going to have to meet the God against whom you have sinned. There is a possibility of meeting that God tonight. But if you do, you'll have to come as these two individuals came and admit honestly in the presence of their creditor, "Sir, I have come before thee and I have not. I cannot pay my debt." I wonder if there's anyone in the meeting tonight that would be willing just to do business with God face to face. And start out with this: "God, I have got nothing. Oh God, I have a debt of sin that I cannot pay. I can never be in heaven with that debt of sin. And I have nothing with which to pay my debt. Nothing." Thank God for a man or woman that will come face to face with the creditor now. He frankly, on the basis of grace, he forgave them both. Thank God tonight there is grace from God, unmerited favor. If you would be willing to admit to God, "I have no claim to blessing," then God would open wide the floodgates of blessing and say, "I am dispensing blessing by grace. I am not giving salvation to people that deserve it. I am not giving salvation to people that have something to offer." If you're willing to take the place of having nothing, Christ is available to you. He's all you need. Men and women do not come face to face with God now. They will come face to face with God. There's a man in the Old Testament and he came face to face with God. And the matter of his accounts were brought out by God. And God sends a message to that man, and when the man saw the message, he could not even read it, but he trembled. He knew God was speaking to him. And when the message was interpreted to him, the man must have fainted in heart.
God says, I've kept the count of the record books, Belshazzar. And I'm weighing up the balance in the books. And you're found wanting, Belshazzar. Your liabilities far exceed your assets. And I'm drawing the bottom line on the total tonight. What would you do if God drew the bottom line on your account tonight? And took the total up, and you went out to meet God face to face in your sins. Oh, I wish I could impress on you tonight the absolute urgency of this matter of having nothing to pay, of being a debtor before God, and the door of heaven closed to you. Dear soul, this evening, may God help you to see we are dealing with matters for eternity, and you must meet God. If you were to meet God as you are in the meeting tonight, because of your sins, your soul would be in hell for eternity. Two sides of truth that we are preaching tonight. No Christ, no heaven. In your sins, hell. Face to face with the creditor. Thank God I can tell you tonight from this passage what the Lord Jesus was presenting as an opportunity to Simon the Pharisee was a common blessing. Here are two individuals, 50 pence debtor, 500 pence debtor, and they both left the presence of the creditor forgiven. He frankly forgave them both. By grace, he forgave them both. They both got the same blessing on the same basis. At the end of the story, the Lord Jesus, to reemphasize his point, turns to the woman. And he says to her, thy sins have been forgiven thee. Simon, don't you see the problem? I told the story about two debtors, and they both were forgiven. On the same basis. This woman is forgiven. Are you interested in getting forgiveness on the same basis as she has received it? Are you willing to admit before God that you too are a debtor, Simon? Are you willing to admit before God that you too have absolutely no capability of paying? Are you willing to admit, Simon, that you're going face to face with God? And this matter must be settled. There is nothing more important. The common blessing is available. On the basis of grace and of grace alone. I am fascinated in this passage by this fact. The Lord Jesus says he frankly forgave them both. Who frankly forgave them? The man to whom they were in debt forgave them. Simon, to whom is that woman in debt? She's in debt to God. Then who can forgive her sin? Only God. And the Lord Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? He is God. Dear soul, this evening, what you need is a word from God. God must be satisfied about your sins, or you can never be forgiven. It is only God that can forgive sins. There is no name on earth, no matter with what it may be attached, that has the authority to give you the forgiveness of sins. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And forgiveness of sins is available only through him. How can he forgive sins? When a doctor gives free medical care, is that medical care really free? Is it not really true that after all, somebody had to pay for it? If the government won't underwrite it, as it sometimes does in this nation, if the government won't underwrite it, then the doctor will have to bear the expense of it himself. The Lord Jesus says to that woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. How can he forgive sins? Listen, God cannot simply at will say, we'll forget about the debt. That wouldn't be right. If the debt is going to be forgiven, then God must have a just way to do it. And when the Lord Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee,
I read underneath that statement the truth of Calvary. I am going to Calvary to die for this woman's sins. Thy sins be forgiven me. There is absolutely no forgiveness apart from what the Lord Jesus paid at Calvary. But when the Lord Jesus was hanging there, ere he dismissed his spirit, he lifted his voice not only to heaven, but for all on earth to hear. It is paid in full. The great debt of sin, I have answered for it, and there is sufficient in my death to bring forgiveness to every sinner. You cannot pay tonight for the forgiveness of one sin. But at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid infinitely, sufficient for the forgiveness of every sin. Dear soul, tonight, what you need is the value of the death of Christ to pay the debt of your sins. But thank God we can tell you, you require nothing more than that. God has accepted the payment the Lord Jesus made. He has raised them from the dead. And there is forgiveness of sins tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the debt at Calvary. Would you be willing to come to God tonight and to confess in God's presence, I'm only a sinner. And I cannot pay the debt of my sin. I can only claim the great truth that the Lord Jesus has paid sufficient for a guilty sinner like me. How did this woman know her sins were forgiven? The same way any person in the meeting tonight whose sins are forgiven knows. She had the word of the Lord Jesus for it. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You could leave this meeting tonight with the word of the Lord Jesus to assure you forgiveness. His own word, paid in full. It is finished. The value of his death at Calvary is sufficient. Dear soul, will you take his word tonight and claim the forgiveness of every sin? Only, solely, on the basis that he has paid enough at Calvary. God is satisfied. And God's word is sent to you tonight because of Calvary. Because of all that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, thy sins be forgiven thee. Dear soul, tonight, Calvary is enough. Look no further. Take the Savior who died at Calvary. If you left tonight with him as your sole payment for the great debt of your sins, God's word for it, every sin forgiven. Heaven open, and no hell for all eternity. God grant you might claim the value of that finished work alone for your forgiveness tonight. Let us pray. Our Father, we commit to Thee Thy Word and pray that Thou wilt bless it. We thank Thee for those that are in the meeting tonight. We thank Thee for some who have come without knowing the Savior, and we pray that the Word of God tonight may have addressed their need directly. We pray that in our gathering tonight there will be those that will have been brought to face the great truth that they are without Christ. We pray, Lord, there will be those in the meeting tonight brought to Thee to face the great truth that they have a debt of sin that they cannot pay. And we pray tonight that there will be souls who will claim this Christ, whose work is finished, to be their Savior. And grant, Lord, we do pray that from this meeting tonight, souls will be saved and the Lord Jesus glorified. We commit thy word to thee for thy richest blessing in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're glad to see you with us in the meeting tonight and remind you of the meetings in the week before us, if the Lord be not come each night at 8 o'clock, as has been mentioned. We'll sing two verses in closing of hymn number 102, please. 102, settled forever, sin's tremendous claim, glory to Jesus, blessed be his name. No partway measure doth his grace provide. Finished the work was, and the Savior died. We'll sing verse 2 and verse 4.
4 of this hymn, the second and last verses of 102, and I'll read it tonight when we close. Settle